Today's shir is Masechta Chagiga Daf Yud Zayin, Daf Tez Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Tez Vav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. As we have been discussing, the various individuals who were able to enter the Paradise and how the different individuals came out from the Paradise, we learned that Rabbi Akiva was the individual who all of B'Shalom, he entered B'Shalom, Viyard B'Shalom, and he was able to exit B'Shalom, not like the other Tanoim. Volav HaKos of Omer, and regarding him, the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Mashreini Achrecha Narutza Havi'ane HaMelech Hadorov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him into Hadorov. He brought him into his secret place. And the way the Mashah explains Rabbi Kiva's experience, he says, Rabbi Kiva, what made him different than the other individuals who we have been discussing that went in, what made Rabbi Kiva unique was that he knew that until here he can go, and past here he can't go. And because of that, he was able to prevent, himself that he should not go where he's not supposed to go. A person's supposed to recognize where his limits are. Says the Gemara, but actually, says the Gemara, of Afra Bekiva, Bikshu Malach Hasharis Ladachvai, so Rabbi Kiva as well, the Malach Hasharis wanted to harm him as his other colleagues. Amalai, Amalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Hinichu L'zokin Zeh, leave him alone, Shiroi L'shtamish Bechvaydi. He's worthy to see the Kavod Hashem. And the Shlo explains, why was Rabbi Kiva worthy for this? Because he explains that we know, we say it on Yom Kippur, we say it on Tisha B'Av, we speak about the Asara Harugei Malchus, the 10 Tanoim that were killed by the Romans, and they all killed because it was to be a kapara for the Avera of Mechiras Yosef. Now, explains the Shla that actually there were 10 people, as we just said, Asara Harugei Malchus, there were 10 people who were killed. But when we speak about the people who participated in the chait, in the aveira of selling Yosef, 9 of the shvatim participated. Who was the 10th? The 10th was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, was well aware of what was going on as well. Rabbi Kiva, he says, was the individual who was connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Rabbi Kiva came to be mechaper kaviyachol on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu participated, that's why Rabbi Kiva was the individual who was saved when he went into the paradise. Another pshat is the Gemara says Ashishem alakecha tira. The Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim daf chaf beis amud beis that Rabbi Shimon HaHamsoni that spoke. Every time the Torah uses the word S, would explain what the Torah means when it uses the words S. But it came to Es Hashem Alakecha Tira, Hashem Alakecha Tira, he did not know how to explain it. Achabar Rabbi Kiva, until Rabbi Kiva came and said that it comes to include Talmid HaChachamim. So we see that it was Rabbi Kiva who was able to equate the covet for Talmid HaChachamim to cover Hashem. And because Rabbi Kiva had that madrega, where he taught us what it means, cover Talmid Chachamim, connected to cover Hashem, that's why regarding him, says the Gemara, Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hinichu L'zokin Zeh, allow him to enter the Paradise B'Shalom, for as we just explained, Shiroi L'shtamish B'Chvoidi. Mad Dorish, says the Gemara, how did Rabbi Kiva know where he may look, and where he may not look? That's, as Rashi explains, he knew that the place where the Shekhinah is, he's not allowed to look. Other places, he's not allowed to look. Another pshat is that the other great Tanoim, as we have been learning, made mistakes. How did Rabbi Kiva avoid making a mistake? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Babachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Pasuk says in Parashas Hazin, Hashem is Sinai Ba, Parashas Vazos Abrocha, Hashem is Sinai Ba, Vaasa Merivivais Kodesh. There's a sign, there's a way to tell in the Shemayim where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu And as the Mashal goes on to explain, even though we spoke in our previous year, there was some confusion regarding Metatrin. Acher got confused between Metatrin and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Kiva was able not to make that type of an errand. Rabbi Kiva says, where is the limit to where he could go? Dogma Ravava. Dogma Hu Ravava Shalai. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a flag. There's a way how to tell what is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and that's where Rabbi Kiva knew that it's not for him to be there. Reish Lakish Amar, the pasuk says, Hashem Tzavaka Shemai Kadosh Yisrael, Adon Hu Mitzvah Shalai. He is the general over his entire army. And when you see the place where the entire army is gathered and where the general is supposed to be standing, of course, we're explaining it to the best way we can explain it. That is where Kiva knew is the place where he's not supposed to look. Rechibar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Pasuk says, Loi Baruch Hashem, the Pasuk says in Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there where there's a tremendous wind. V'achar Ruach, and after the wind is a rash. And Loi Barash Hashem, that's where you're not going to find that Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'acharash Eish and Loi Be'esh Hashem. That's not where you're going to find that Kadosh Baruch Hu as either. V'acharash called the Mamadakam. There's a place of absolute silence, and that's the place the Hine Hashem over. That's where Kadosh Baruch Hu passes. Tana Abadim. Shishadvarim Nemru B'Shedim. There were six things that were said about Shedim. Shloisha Kamalachi Asharis. In three ways, Shedim are similar to Malachi Asharis. Shloisha Kamalachi Adam. And in three ways, they're similar to people. And the Rabban explains that just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu created human beings, and every human being and animals as well are created out of four elements, fire, air, water, and earth, so too, when he created, during the Shesh Yemei Bereishis, he created certain beings just from two elements, fire and air. And those are the Shedim. And they're called Shedim because the word Shedim, says the Ramban, is from the word Shtud. Shtud is a place where it's separate, where you don't have anybody else. And that's where the Shedim typically frequent. It says the Gemara, the Shedim in Shloish Kamalach Yesharus, in three ways, they are similar to Malachim. In Shloish Kamalach Adam, and in three ways, they're similar to human beings. Shloish Kamalach Yesharus, Yeshlem Knafayim Kamalach Yesharus, they have wings like Malachim have. V'tosim, V'tsoifa Olam, V'tsoifa, they could fly from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Just the Malachim have that ability. Another pshat that I saw is that the Shedim, the Marsha says, given that we just explained, the Shedim don't typically inhabit places where other people inhabit. And therefore, they can inhabit the North Pole and the South Pole, which is a place where human beings can obviously not typically survive. But the Shedim have the ability to survive even in places where human beings can't survive. And they're aware of what's going to be, like the Malach HaSharis. Says the Gemara, Yoidim Sa'al Kedatach, nobody knows what's going to be besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, what it means is, Shami Mechari HaPagid, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel sits on the Kisei HaKavid, and the Malachim are able to hear from behind the Kisei HaKavid what will be, so Kamalach HaSharis, so too do the Shedim have that ability. Shloish Kamnei Adam, in the three ways they're like people. Oichel Mishayis Kamnei Adam, they eat like human being. And of course, explain the Mefarshim, it's not that they're exactly like human beings, because as we said earlier, human beings are made out of four elements, and Malach and the Shedim are not. What it means to say is that they need to have nourishment. Parim v'rabim kamnei adam, they multiply, and again, of course, the way they multiply is not the way as human beings multiply. And meisim kamnei adam, Rabbeinu Bechayim explains what that means is that human beings pass away, and so too the shedim, which are made out of fire and water, the fire and water separate, and that's when they no longer continue to exist. The mabit, and a sefer beis olakim, explains that we have found in the history that there are Shadim that live for a very, very long time. He says Ashmedai is an example there of a Shade that lives for a very long time. That's what the Gemara means to say. They die, but they could survive for a very long time. Continues the Gemara. Shishu Dvarim Nemru B'Bnei Adam. The six things that when we speak about a person, the six characteristics that we could consider. Shlosh k'malach asharis, and three ways they're like malachim, or shlosh k'bnei adam. And there's three ways that they're comparable to an animal. Shlosh k'malach asharis, yesh lam das k'malach asharis. A human being has intellect. U'mahalcha b'koyim z'kufa k'malach asharis, and they're able to stand tall like malach asharis. U'mesapim malach m'shloshan ha'kodesh, and they could speak like a malach speaks. That what it means is that, of course, explains the mashal, that not all human beings speak Hebrew. And what is so special necessarily about the ability to speak Lashon Kodesh? Explains the mashal, what the Gemara means to say is that, of course, the ability to speak is the ability to show great intellect. And human beings have that level of intellect that they're able to say, that they're able to speak. The Rashbatz has a different explanation. He says that the Malachim, we know what are Malachim primarily here for. Malachim are primarily here for to say Shira. And that's what the Gemara means to say. That what are human beings here for? Human beings are here for to say Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But others explain, and this is a pshat that many say by the Seder, that we begin the Seder with saying Holach Ma'anya. Why do we begin the Seder with the words Holach Ma'anya? Because it's to represent, we want to say something that the Malachim should not be able to understand. So we begin the Seder with a declaration and a Ramis, which is a language that Malachim don't understand. And that's what the Gemara means to say, that Malachim are only able to speak Lashon Kodesh, and actually, according to this, human beings are even greater because they could speak other languages as well. Umahalchim b'kayim zekufa k'malach asharis, m'sapel lashon kodesh k'malach asharis, shloish k'behema. There are three ways human beings are like an animal. Oichlam v'sharisim k'behema. They have to eat and drink like an animal. Uparim v'ravim k'behema. They multiply. Umaitzim rei behema. And then they expel waste from the batim. Why does the Gemara not mention that human beings die just like animals die? Because there's a very fundamental difference between the death of a human being and the death of a behemoth. A behemoth dies, he dies, it's the end. A human being, even when he passes away from the world, we know that a human being, when he's not in the world, he still can continue accomplishing, as we learned at the end of Masechta Maikotin, Tamid Chama Elam Menucha, Loyal Ba'alim Haza, V'loy Ba'alim Haba, they have this ability. Death by a person is not final. There's still much that a person accomplishes. A person goes to the Olam Emes, and in the Olam Emes, he could go from one Madrega to another Madrega, all which is not by an animal. Says the Gemara, Kol Mastakel Ba'Avar Dvarim, anybody who looks at these four things, Rois, like, it would have been better, Shlomo Olam, had he not come to this world. Bishlama, as we learned in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah said, Ma'ala 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 Mata Ma'ala Fnim Ma'ala Ocham. So explains the Gemara. Bishlama Ma'ala 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 Mata, what's above the Chayis HaKodesh and what's below L'Chayi? It's very well understood why a person should not look. In other words, as the Rebbein Chananel explains, it is not for us to understand always the ways of Hashem. It's our place to accept the will of Hashem. Elifnim, to discuss what happened before the world was created, Maida Hava Hava. Whatever happened, happened. And why is that unacceptable? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar Amar Tavayu. The reason one should not look at those things is Moshel Melech Bas V'Adam. It's comparable to a king, Shamal Avadav, who told the servants, Benuli Paltrin, I want you to build me Gedolim, a big palace, Al Ashba, on top of a garbage dump. Hochu Banaloi. And they did so. Ein Ritzon Shamelech, and certainly it is not the will of the king that when everybody mentions or speaks or looks at the palace, they should speak about the Ashba, about the garbage dump onward. And we know that the world was created. V'aretz ha'isah sayu v'vayu. The world was nothing. And that's not something that we should think about. Another pshat that I saw, that if a person is going to think that the entire world was built on top of an ashpa, he's going to think that there is no purpose in doing, in accomplishing something in this world. And because of that, it's not worth thinking about that too much, too often. The Gra explains, what is the mashal in our Gemara that says that the world was built on top of an ashpa? So he says, just like you see when a seed is planted in the ground. So he says, when a seed is planted in the ground, first the seed deteriorates, and then from that grows a wonderful world, grows a wonderful plant. So too, he says, the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating different worlds, umachrivam, and destroying them, until he came to the world that we know, that we have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows was the perfect world. And that's the world that we should be focused on, not anything else. We learned in the Mishnah, Kol shloi chos akvoid kaimai, whoever doesn't have the proper kvoid shemayim, rosu lo shloi bal oilam, it would have been better that he didn't come to the world. Says the Gemara, Mahi, what is that referring to? Says the Gemara, Rav Abba Omar, Zemestakel b'shkeshes. Somebody says that is somebody who looks at the rainbow. Rav Yosef Omer, Rav Yosef says, Zeh oiba averi b'seiser. Somebody who doesn't do averis, that's only doesn't avera privately. Because somebody who does avera privately shows that he has a lack of Yerushamayim. Because if he was worried about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then he wouldn't say, well, I'm doing the avera in a place that nobody sees, and that's why I have nothing to worry about. If we believe and we live our lives with Shvisi Hashem L'negdi Samid, then a person knows that wherever he is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. The Mashal has a different approach. And the Mashal's approach is that we know that when somebody does an Aveira publicly, he could get an Oinish, he could get punished by Beis Din. Whereas if a person does an Aveira privately, no Edim, no Asra, he won't get punished. So explains the Mashal that this person who does an Aveira, and all he's concerned when he does the Aveira that he shouldn't do it publicly, that he shouldn't be punished. That's the only reason you're not doing an Aveira. That is unacceptable. So we just spoke about not looking at the rainbow. Hamistekel b'keshes, why is it inappropriate to look at the rainbow d'ksiv? The pasuk says, Kamara keshes shir be'onon b'yoyim ha'geshem, kein mara noyge sagaviv, humara d'mus kvayr Hashem. The pasuk compares looking at the rainbow as looking at the Shechina Kedoshah. And just like the person, of course, we're not supposed to look at the Shechina Kedoshah, so too, we're not supposed to look at the rainbow. So says the Rosh, that we know that when we look at the rainbow, we make a bracha. So how could our Gemara say that we're not supposed to look at the rainbow? So the Rosh says that whenever the Gemara or Shulchan Aruch uses the word hamistakel, it means to pay deep attention. And therefore, says the Rosh, the one is allowed to look at the rainbow. He's not supposed to study it, not supposed to look at it for a long time. And that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim Simen Reish Chav Tes Sif Aleph. Haroi Keshes, when you see the rainbow Mavarech, you should make the bracha. V'ein l'stakel by b'yoyser. But one should not look at it too much. Another pshat that I saw is that one is not supposed to, when I'm stuck with keshes, when you study the keshes too much, so our Gemara just compared studying the keshes to looking at the Shechina, and as we're learning in our shiurim, one is not supposed to look at the Shechina, and that's why one is not supposed to gaze too much at the keshes. But it's interesting that the Chaya Adam in Klal Samach Gimel Sif Dalet says that he found in a sefer, and he writes that he forgot the name of that sefer, that you're not supposed, if you see the rainbow, you're not supposed to tell somebody else that you saw the rainbow. And the reason is because it's Maitzi Diba. We know, as the Torah teaches us in Parshas Noach, the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings out the rainbow is because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the world again, he brings out the rainbow to remind him that he should not bring another Mabul. So to whom does HaKadosh Baruch Hu show the rainbow? Somebody who's doing an Averis, that because of an individual like his behavior, the world would be destroyed. So if I see the Keshis, doesn't mean that you're such a person, and you shouldn't tell it. The Mishnah Berura doesn't quote the Chai Adam verbatim. He doesn't say that it's usur. He says it's not appropriate. And therefore, there are those that suggest that it is appropriate to tell somebody else that they saw a rainbow because it will cause them, A, to do tshuva, given the reason for the seeing the rainbow that we just explained. And also, it will give them the opportunity to make a bracha. The question that the Paiskim say is, if somebody is in the middle of learning and there's a rainbow outdoors, should one be interrupted to be told that there's a rainbow outdoors, they should go say the bracha? Because the Gemara Masechta Brachos explains that it's appropriate to stop one's learning to be able to go see the king and make the bracha one makes when he sees a king. So now the question is that the same by the rainbow? Perhaps the rainbow is different, because we're learning here that the rainbow, according to the Chai Adam and the Mishnah Berura, is not something that you're really supposed to look at. You maybe not even tell somebody else that you saw it. So if you see it, okay. And even if, according to some opinions, you're walking outside with somebody and you see it. But to interrupt somebody from his learning to go see the rainbow, when our Gemara, in fact, says that it's inappropriate, when the Chai Adam says it's not appropriate to mention it, maybe that much not. Rabbi Yosef says that it's referring to a person, oiva avera b'seiser, somebody does an avera privately, somebody who does an avera privately, is it ready, it would have been better he didn't come to the world. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak, where does this come from? From what Rabbi Yitzchak taught us. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kol oiva avera b'seiser, somebody who does an avera in a place that nobody should see him, kilu doichik ragle shechina. It's showing that he doesn't believe that the shechina plays everywhere. Shnema koy amar Hashem, hashemayim kisi v'oretz adam ragli. But they saw a pshat. Here we're learning that doing an avera privately is worse than doing an avera publicly. But I saw a pshat that the way to learn the Gemara is just the opposite. Even if you do an Aveira privately, where you're not causing a Chil Hashem, it's Kilu Doichuk Ragle Shechina. Certainly, if you do Aveira publicly, that makes even a bigger Chil Hashem. How much worse is it? So here we're learning that doing an Aveira privately or publicly is a terrible thing. So how does one correct doing that Avera? So I saw the way to correct doing that Avera is by doing mitzvahs. You do Averas privately, do mitzvahs privately. You do Averas publicly, do mitzvahs publicly, and that's the way you'll correct any Avera that you would have done. Eini, says the Gemara, is that true? Have we not learned? If somebody sees that the Yetzirah is getting the better of him, he should go to a place where nobody knows him. He should put on black clothing. He should put on cloak himself with black. And do whatever his heart tells him to do. Because don't do an aveira b'feresya. So there's a very big machlokes how to learn this Gemara. Tosfos learns that the Gemara means to say we have to avoid a Chil Hashem, and therefore doing in a place where no one knows you, concealing yourself, will avoid a Chil Hashem. But others learn that the Gemara means to say that the Gemara is giving us advice. What is the way that you can avoid doing an Aveira? Is by dressing in black and going to such a place, then you'll be less likely to do the Aveira. Says the Marlai Kasha, if somebody could prevail on his Yetzer Hara, That's the best. Hadaloy mekayif liyotzrei. If he can't prevail over the yotzer hara, so then of course he should better do an avera b'tzina. He should do an avera privately versus doing it in a public fashion, where we just said before that will cause a chil Hashem. Darsh of Yehuda Rebbe Nechlein Metugmei the Rebbe Shlokish. Kamastak b'shloisha dvarim. Whoever looks at the following three things, ain of koyos. His eyes get weakened. Bekeshes, the rainbow, as we just discussed. Benasi or bekahanim. And the Gemara explains each one of them. So bekeshes, the ksiv kamara keshes shir be'onam b'yom ageshen hu mara. The most kvod Hashem. So as we said earlier, looking at the keshes is similar to looking at the shechina, which is inappropriate. Menasi the ksiv, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, the pasuk says when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to point Yeshua as his successor, the pasuk says v'nasata mahoitcha olav, you should give part of your glow to him, but not your entire glow, because people have to look at him. And therefore, by people looking at him, they're looking at the Shechina. And in fact, I saw the Mashah says that when one goes to a Din Torah, he should not gaze at the Dayan. Because we know, Elkim Nitzav Badas Kel, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is standing there where there's a Din Torah, and one is not supposed to gaze at that. From Mistakel Kahanim, what does it mean looking at the Kahanim? Says the Gemara Bezman Shebeis Medesh Kayim, when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, the Kahana was standing on the platform, and they would say the Nesias Kapayim with the Shem HaMefayrish, and therefore the halacha is one should not look at that. So based on this Gemara, it would seem that one should not look at the Issa to look at the Kahana when they're duchening only applies in the Beis Hamikdash and only applies when the Kahanim are using the Shem HaMefayrish. However, Tosfos, the Ramaskal B'Kahanim, quotes the Yerushalmi that says that one should not look at the Kahanim even b'zman hazeh when they're duchening, because it causes a hesach hadas. One is supposed to be thinking about the bracha, and therefore one should not look at the Kahanim. And that's why they're different menhagim about the Kahanim covering their fingers. Is it appropriate for the Kahanim to cover their fingers when they duchen, because that's where the Shechina is, and that's why the fingers should be covered, that nobody should chas v'sham look at the Kahanim at that time. There are others that suggest on the contrary, because the Kahanim, that's where the Shechina is, one should not cover their fingers, one should leave the fingers out there, because they let the Shechina be visible. Our minig, that the Ramah says, is that we have the Kahanim cover their fingers b'shas duchening, and therefore suggests Reb Chaim Kanievsky, if the fingers are covered, there is no concern of looking at the Shechina. There's no Shechina when there's nothing to look at the Shechina when the fingers are covered. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky also says that the issue that we just quoted of Hesach Hadas, if you're going to look at the fingers, is only when the fingers are out. If the fingers are covered, then there's no problem of Hesach Hadas. That says the Gemara. Darash Rabbi Yehud, and that's also why the minig is that we're supposed to stand by duchening. Because if the Shechina is appearing at that point, when the Shechina is appearing at that point, we should not in any way, we have to show the covered by standing in honor of the Shechina. Darash Rabbi Yehud ben Nachmani, Tagunenu Resh Lakish. My Diksiv, the Pasuk says in Micha, Al Taminu Berea, Al Tiftchu Be'elef. Im Yom Milcha Yetzachara, if the Yetzachara tells you, Chatoi, do Averis, and then you'll do Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meichel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Meichel you for that, Al Tamin. Don't believe it. As it says in Perkei Avos, Ha'im Echtev Ashev, Eim Aspikim B'yodoi, Lasses Tshuva. Somebody who tries that says, I'll do Averis and then I'll do Tshuva, don't believe him. And the Tzlach says that that's what the Yetzer Tzahara tries to convince a person, that you'll do it Avera and then you'll be able to do Tshuva. But what happens is, as we've learned many times, that when a person does Aveira, he becomes more connected to the Aveira. Aveira Gereris Aveira. And because he becomes more connected to the Aveira, it becomes more difficult to do tshuva. And that's pshat, I saw the Mefarshim explain, when we say the Brach of Hashkivenu, when we daven Ma'ariv, we say, Vasa Satan Faneinu Umachareinu. The Satan tries to tell us to do Aveira. And then, but we don't want to do an Aveira. So he says, Machareinu, that after you'll do the Aveira, you'll be able to do tshuva. And we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Satan who comes with that argument, or Me'achareinu, that we'll be able to do tshuva after we do the Aveira, that person will never be able to do tshuva for those Averis, and therefore don't fall into that trap, says the Gemara.
Don't trust him.
Who is the Yetzirah that's referred to in the pasuk Yetzirah? Shnemar ki Yetzir Leiv Adam Ram Neurav Vein Aluf Al Kadosh Baruch Shnemar Aluf Neurei Ata Shema Timer. And if a person does an Aveira privately, he says to himself, "Me may it be who will say testimony that I did this Aveira who nobody sees?" Says the Gemara, Avnei Beisoi, the Kares Beisoi, a person's walls and beams. Hey, me eden boy, they will say testimony if the person did an aveira. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, ki even mikir tizak the kapayim eitz yanena. And the base of Levi goes with a pshat that we said in a previous year, that every time a person does an aveira, he brings ra, he brings bad to the world. And every time a person does a mitzvah, he brings toiv, he brings goodness to the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to identify what brought the ra to the world and what brought the toiv to the world. And the Chofetz Chaim goes on to say that when a person leaves the world and he has to give a din v'cheshbon, there's a video of everything that he did shown in this world.
A person's own neshama will say testimony.
Everything that a person does remains deep in his neshama. And when he comes to the Olam Emes, the neshama is revealed to say what happened. The two malachim that escort a person, hey me eden by, they will say testimony on what he did in this world. You have malachim that go with us wherever we go. The person himself, his limbs will say edim. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says that when somebody goes to the bathroom, he should say, that the malachim should not come with him into the bathroom. And our minig, says the Shulchan Aruch, is that we don't say it because we don't believe malachim are with us. It means, says the Tzitz Eliezer, that we don't believe that we have malachim on that level. But we certainly have malachim escorting us. And that's why on Friday night, we all say, Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Asharis. And not only do we say on Friday night, Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Asharis, but many have the minig that on Friday night, when they say the Shalom Aleichem, they don't say Tzeischem L'Shalom. Because as the Gemara just taught us, there are always malachim that are escorting us. And since there are always malachim that are escorting us, we don't say Tzeischem L'Shalom because we're not with us. I saw that the Leif Simcha asked once a chassan who recently got married and moved into a new apartment. He says, "Are you satisfied with your apartment?" And the chassan answered, "Yes, Baruch Hashem, I'm very satisfied." And then the Leif Simcha asked him, "And is the apartment satisfied with you?" So he didn't understand what's the Leif Simcha asking him. What's pshat? An apartment being satisfied with its inhabitant. So he said, our Gemara just said,
Avnei's beisoy v'karis beisoy meidim boy. A person's walls and ceiling say testimony of who you are. What kind of testimony is your partner going to say about you? Our Mishnah continues back to the subject about the kabbonis that are brought in Yontif. We know that when a person brings a carbon, he's supposed to do smicha on the carbon, as the pasuk says, "V'samach yodai al roish kabbonai." Smicha is done by the person who brings the carbon, puts his two hands on the head of the carbon while the animal is still alive with all of his might. And our Mishnah begins a discussion regarding kabbonis that are brought on Yontif, if smicha may be done or not. Says the Mishnah, Yosef ben Yaza Omer Shloi Lismach, his opinion was that we don't do smicha on a behemoth on Yontif because that's called mishtamish balchai, and we're not allowed to be mishtamish balchai on Yontif. Yosef ben Yochanan's opinion was Lismach. And Rashi says that this was the first machlokes that we find between Chachmei Yisrael. And Tosfos asks that we already find in the time of David HaMelech, that David HaMelech and Shaul had a machlokes on how a kedushin could be affected. So why is this considered the first machlokes? So the Siach Yitzchak says that David's opinion was against all the other Chachamim. And since David's opinion was against all the Chachamim, it was a Yochid V'Rabim, and therefore it's not considered a valid opinion. But here, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah, there were Tanoim that had this Machlaikis for many generations. Another Pshat is that Machlaikis was resolved. This is a Machlaikis that wasn't resolved. This is the first Machlaikis, Rashi means to say, that we had in Klai Yisrael that wasn't resolved. Yeshua ben Prachya Aymer Loy Lismach, Nite Habila Aymer Lismach, Yehuda ben Tabe Aymer Shloy Lismach, Shim ben Shatach Aymer Lismach, Shmaya Aymer Lismach, Avtalion Aymer Shloy Lismach. We have all these various people who have the Machlaikas. Why do the opinions that hold that you're allowed to do smicha, hold you're allowed to do it on smicha? They hold that the smicha is part of bringing the carbon, and therefore any carbon that may be brought on Yontif, we'll have to do smicha on Yontif. It's part of the process. Furthermore, they hold takev l'smicha shchita, that the shchita has, that the smicha and the shchita have to be done right one next to each other. So there is no option to do the smicha from before Yontif. Hillel Menachem le'nichleku. There was no machlokes in this subject according to Hillel, between Hillel and Menachem. They both held that you're allowed to do smicha Yontif. Then when Yotz Menachem, when Menachem was no longer the Av Beis Din, Nichna Shammai, so Shammai became the Av Beis Din, and at that point, again, there was a machlokes. Shammai am a shloi lismach, and Hillel am a lismach, that they had this machlokes. Harishonim, so says the Mishnah, in all of the pairs of Tanoim that I mentioned in the Mishnah, the first one mentioned in the group is the Nesiim, and the second one mentioned in the group was the Av Beis Din. That was the order in all of the people that are mentioned in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Shloshim Azugas Rishonim, three of the original pairs that said Shloi Lismach, Yosi ben Yezer, Yeshua ben Prachya, the Yehuda ben Tabai, Ushlaim Azugas Achroinim, Shama Lismach, and three and two who said Tadus Mich, Shmai and Ahelo, Hayat Nasiim. They were Nasiim. Rishneim Lahem, and anybody mentioned after them were the Avos Beis Din, Divrei Meir. That's the way our Mishnah learned that Yehuda ben Tabi was a Nasi and Shimon ben Shaddach was an Av Beis Din. V'chama Imrim, Yehuda ben Tabi was the Av Beis Din. Yehuda ben Tabi was the Av Beis Din, and it was actually Shimon ben Shaddach who was the Nasi. We know, says the Gemara, Man Tana Lahod Tana Rabbanan, who is the Tana that learned the following braisa? Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai made the declaration, Era Nechama. What he means to say is he made a shvua that I should not be zoicha to see the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Imloi Harakti Eid Zoymim, and I killed an Eid Zoymim, L'hoitzim Elimim Shal Tzedoykim. We know that the Torah has the parsha as discussed extensively in Masechta Makkos of Edom Zoymimin. Edom Zoymimin is if two Edom come and say a testimony, and two other Edom say, how could you possibly said testimony, Imanu Hayisim, you were with us elsewhere, and the halacha is that the second pair is believed, the first pair become Edom Zoymimin, and their punishment is as the Torah says, Vasisimloi Kashazomim Lasis Lachiv. And he said that I killed an Eid Zoymimim, Leitzim Elimim Shatzadaikim. We know that Tzadaikim were Talmidim of Antignus Ish Soichu, and they were called Tzadaikim because they only believed in Torah Shabbat and they did not believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. Shaima Oimrim, their opinion was, Ein Eidim Zoymimim Narogim, if Eidim Zoymimim want to cause the Edom Zoymimim are only killed, as we just explained, at Shiyaragan Eden. Their opinion was that they should only be killed if they caused a person to be killed. But if they did not cause a person to be killed, then they should not be killed. And what happened here was that he killed a person under that circumstance. And he said, Amal HaMashatach, Eregah ben Chama, you deserve punishment, Emloi Shefachta Da'am Naki. Shrei Amar Chacham, Ein Einam Zoymim, Narogim Atch Yizm Shneim. Ven Loikim Atch Yizom Shneim, they don't get punished until they're Muslim, until Vein Mishamam Atch Yizom Shneim. That they, as soon as they said testimony, that's when the Chai Misa. But if they were killed, they're not. Yad Kibalov, Yehuda ben Tabai accepted upon himself, Ein Amar Halacha, they were not Paskin anymore. Shailas, El Befnei, Shimon ben Shatach, only in front of Shimon ben Shatach, that Yehuda ben Tabai, they killed the Edom Zoymimin improperly, because he was punished. That he accepted upon himself never to make that, do that again, never to pass on the Shaila, only in front of Shimon ben Shatach. So Tysus asks, how did Yehuda ben Tabai make this mistake? How did he make this mistake? The Gemara says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takola al yidei behemtos shel tzadikim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't cause tzadik, the animals of tzadikim to make an error. Kelshkein, certainly the tzadikim. So how did Yehuda ben Tabai kill Edom Zoymimim that he wasn't supposed to? That means that the person was sentenced to death, and he said only when he was sentenced is the chi of Edom Zoymimim, and he says, and that he killed the Edom Zoymimim alone, when the halacha is you have to have both. So Tysus answers that this concept of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe tatkol tzadikim is only regarding food. Eating food that's not kosher is particularly unacceptable. And therefore, the halacha is that somebody, that Kadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that tzaddikim, or even the animals of tzaddikim, don't eat macholos asuris. But has nothing to, but in other areas, tzaddikim can make those mistakes. Says the Gemara, Kol yom shehudim and tabai, hamishtateach al kivrei shlois arug. He used to go to the kever of that person that he caused to die. From here we see that somebody did something to wrong to someone else. He has to go to his kever and ask mechila. Vayekoil and nishma, and they heard Yehuda ben Tabai's voice. Ksvim am leima shekoil shel harug, that the voice of this individual he killed inappropriately was speaking. Amlam koilihi, it's my voice. Shlemachar, and what's the proof that it's my voice? Shlemachar humeis, he was saying by himself, I will die tomorrow. Then kol nishma, you won't hear that voice anymore. So we see that it wasn't the dead person who was speaking, it was Yehuda ben Tabai asking this person mechila. Amalei Rachbrei the Rav Rashi, the Dilma Payusipayas, maybe it was the voice of the dead person, but when Yehuda ben Tabai came to the Olam Emes, he forgave him. Or, on the other hand, we could say, Medinei Tavai, maybe he took him to Bezdin Shalmala, and they settled whatever had to be settled in the Bezdin Shalmala, and there was no reason anymore for his voice to be heard. Says the Gemara, Mani Ha, who is the Tan of this Braisa? Says the Gemara, Yeah, B'Shlomo, if we're going to say that this price fouls the opinion of Rameya, that says that Shimon B'Shotach Abezdin, and Rehuda Ben Tabe was Nasai, so that's why we could understand Hain the Kamari Alochi. That's why Yehuda Ben Tabai was allowed to pass in a Shaila before, in front of Shimon Ben Shotach, because Yehuda Ben Tabai was the Nasi. The Nasi is always considered the greater, more significant one. And that's why he was allowed to pass in, until what happened was he realized, because he made a mistake, that he should no longer do so. Eli Amrit. Krabonon, if we're going to say it's fouling the opinion of the Rabbanon, Tamri Yehuda Ben Tabai Ayyub Bezdin. The Shimon Ben Shotach was the Nasi. So how did Yehuda Ben Tabai paskin in the first place? Ah Bezdin b'fnei Nasi mimayra alocha? Says the Gemara, loy. It wasn't that he should paskin. He anyway cannot paskin in front of the Nasi. What is my kibbel of the kabel? Let's tarufi. That he's allowed to paskin when Shimon Ben Shotach is not there. What he accepted upon himself that till now he sat in the same forum with Shimon Ben Shotach. And now he accepted upon himself that since he made this mistake, that he wouldn't even be allowed to, he wouldn't sit in the Bezdin because he made a mistake. Yotz Menachas Unichnas Shemai, says the Gemara. What does it mean in the Mishnah when it says the Menachem went out and Shammai replaced him? Lehechen Yotz, Abai Amar Yotz Tabas Ra, he went off the Derech. And the Mepharshim explained that Teres Yisrael says that we spoke earlier. He became one of the Baisusim who only believe in Teres Shabbat. Rav Amar Yotzlav Avodas HaMelech. He went out to work for Hordas. When Hordas was yet a young child, that he, Menachem, said Nevuah, that Hordas would one day be the emperor. And when Hordas indeed was appointed the emperor out of recognition to what Menachem said about him all those earlier years, he brought him to be part of his cabinet. Zug 80 pairs of his Tamidim joined him, Levushin Srikin, who put on royal garments. Amar Rav Shem Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, La'olam Altei Shfus Kal Beinecha, don't misunderstand. Always treat even an Issa Drabonin with the greatest respect. Shrei Smicha, the subject of our Mishnah was Smicha, and Smicha is only a Shvus, and yet we see Nechelka by Gedolei Ador. We see this big machlokes if a Shvus could be done on Shabbos, on Yontif in the Beis HaMikdash. Even though it's only a Shvus, many held that you're not allowed to do it, because we can't disregard a Shvus, says the Gemara Pshita. Of course, a Drabonin. Anything that the Rabbanan institute should be treated with the greatest respect. What's the question? Answers the Gemara, Shvus mitzvah tzuchalei. Smicha involves a mitzvah. And that's what he's telling us, that even when it involves a mitzvah, it should not be taken lightly. Says the Gemara, Ganami Peshita. That's also Poshit, because the Mishnah Masech Tebeya, Daflamet Vava Mebeis, teaches us a number of activities that may not be done on Yonta because of Shvus, says the Gemara. Lafuki mandam besmicha gufa peligi. What the Gemara is trying to say is there's a machloikis if there's a chiv smicha. So says the Gemara, everybody agrees that there is a chiv smicha. And the whole machloikis here is b'shvus of the peligi. There's an issa to work with an animal on Yontif, and the machlokes is that shvus overridden? Is that shvus overridden or not overridden? Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Chama, based on all this, says Rami Bachama Shmami, and we could understand that smicha b'kol b'koyach binan. When smicha is done, one has to do it with his entire koyach. This akadat shlabinim b'kol koychay. If we're going to say it doesn't require kol koychay, my covid. Why should it be also to do smicha on Yontif? Lismach, because the Isser explains the Meiri of working with an animal on Yontif is only when you do it with Kol Koichai. So smicha doesn't require Kol Koichai. What is the issue? Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, Del b'nei Yisrael, Adam kiyakv kavim la'ashem v'samach yoda erosh oila. From here we learn, b'nei Yisrael samchim, only men do smicha, v'ein b'nei Yisrael samchim. Women don't do smicha. Rav Yosi, Rav Shimon, Aimrim, the Nois Yisrael, Samchus Rishos. Women, if they want to do smicha, may do smicha. Amar Rav Yosi, Sochli Abba Lazar. We once had a calf of Zivcha Shlomim. V'vianu l'Ezras Noshim, and the women stood in the Ezras Noshim, and we brought that calf to Ezras Noshim, the Samchal of Noshim. It says the Gemara, Loi b'nei she'smicha v'noshim, not because it means that women are obligated to do smicha. Ela k'dei nasas ruach l'noshim, we wanted to make them feel good. V'isa akadatach, smicha b'kol koicha b'inan, if we're going to say the way to perform smicha b'kol koicha, is the question, m'shum nachas ruach l'noshim, just because we want to make women feel good, m'shum nachas ruach l'noshim, avdinen avoid b'kotshim, we know we're not allowed to use the animal of kotshim. So how could they do smicha if they're not obligated to do so? Elav shmami no, loy be'inim b'kol koichai. Says the Gemara, loy be'inim b'kol koichai. Actually, smicha should be done b'kol koichai. Aye, so how did women do smicha? They didn't use kol koichai to do the smicha, the kifu yedaicha. Yacha, so says the Gemara, why do you say loy b'nei smicha nashim? That they don't do, that it's not a mitzvah. According to this, typically, Daniel smicha klal. He should have said they don't do smicha. Says the Gemara, that's exactly what it meant. Omer of Ame chad va'oidkom. Chada, the leis l'smicha klal. That it wasn't an act of smicha. Va'oid, and even if it was a full smicha, there was no mitzvah, and it was only done k'day las nurach ruach noshim. This is the question here. We have the big machlokes, Rishonim, Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rambam. When women do a mitzvah that they're not obligated to do, can they make a bracha? The Rabbeinu Tam, the Ramah, the Minhag of Ashkenazim, is that even when women do mitzvahs that they're not obligated to do, they may make a bracha, even though they say, Ashkenazim b'mitzvaysav. So how could they say, Ashkenazim b'mitzvaysav, if they're not obligated to do the mitzvah? So one pshat is, Ashkenazim b'mitzvaysav, tzivanu, is going on the men. Another pshat is that they are obligated to do the mitzvah. They're just not obligated to do it in the fashion of a mitzvah of Isa. They're only obligated to do it in the fashion of a mitzvah of Ein Isa. But the Rambam's opinion is that women don't make a bracha on a mitzvah they're not obligated, for they cannot say the word v'tzivanu. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa Shmami No. From Rabbi Yochanan said that one is not allowed to do smicha on Yontif is because it's smicha b'kol koichai. Tzdodim, when we're not allowed to work with an animal, even the sides of the animal are usur. One may now use them on yontif. This akadatik tzadimatarim. Let's do smicha on the side of the head, and we'll be able to have done smicha, and will not be considered a violation of working with an animal on yontif. El shmami no tzadim asurim. Even if you say that you're allowed to work on the sides of the animal. Called Bahadi Gaba. When are they doing smicha? Where are they doing smicha on the side of the animal? Towards the head. And that's considered kabadami. That's considered like you're doing smicha on the head. And since it's considered like you're doing smicha on the head, and if you're not allowed to be mishtamish or balchai on yontif, that's why it's also to do on yontif.